Okay, everyone. So obviously this is a very special time when on Shmini Atzeres, which is the Zman that's Ma'avdu Ben Yisrael Amim, that we were zecha to have an Aseirus that we've been long expecting. Etzora Gedela, Mi'oze Yosef La'am, Mimenu Yivashah Be'ezras Hashem. And we're just waiting for the correct Hiseiros for people to recognize the end of Kechi Ve'etzem Yadi and the Chishbonot HaRabim and the Machloikesim and the Lashon Hara and the Shtuyot. We should be zecha to see many, many Nisim with as few Tzaras along the way. But, I mean, if anybody would have predicted the time that we should expect such a thing to happen, obviously it's on Shmini Atzeres. It's the final end of the whole period of the Havdalah. I must tell you, when those sirens went off on the morning of Shmini Atzeres, not knowing, Hashem Yishmor, what had happened, but I was smiling from ear to ear. At last, Baruch Hashem. Whereas every Shmini Atzeres I sit and wait. Okay. Harder and more difficult than we expected. Bezrat Hashem, the end result should be Gula Shleima. Today's daf from the Sechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hei, and we're in the middle of the sugya of the Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about the inyan of being Mekadesh Anisha with Meiser Sheni, or with Hegdesh. So remember that the Machlokes, today's daf, revolves still around Hegdesh. Tomorrow's daf revolves around Meiser Sheni. And we saw the basic Machlokes, the issues that need to be taken into consideration, was that there are two fundamental ways of understanding the Pasuk in the Torah that speaks of Me'ilah. So one is to understand Me'ilah as a Shinui, which means that you would have to actually create a shinui, and that shinui is the fact that the Torah is saying that it's a shinui, that if you use the hegdash, then you're mayel, but only b'tanai that it's b'shogeg, because it says v'chata b'shgaga. And therefore, it's a gzirat akatu, that under any and all circumstances, even if you wouldn't have wanted it to be a kinyan had you known, that if it's b'shogeg, effectively, you've been Mishana the Hegdash. And the Hegdash has now become Chuvah. And because of that, the Kedushin to Anisha would be Taifsim. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, understands that Mo'ala Mo'al is the same thing that we find by Nida, by Saita. Where over there it's Mo'ala Bisha, is talking about being Bogedet, is acting treacherously. But that involves a Mezid. In addition to that, the Torah speaks of Bishgaga. So that means that the issue in Hegdesh would be that you could have in Kavona to take the Hegdesh out of its state of Kedusha, and that would be effective. The only reason that, according to Rabbi Meir, we said that Bishogeg, it wouldn't be effective, and Slamaisa it says in the Pasuk Beferish, Bechata Bishgaga, is simply because the woman would not have wanted it. And had they known it, then they wouldn't have done this act. They would have been Mechal HaLegdash. But let's say that something else, let's say you ate it, Bishogeg, or you made use of it on some other level, Bishogeg, then obviously that would be, even according to Rabbi Meir, of course, is included in Bishvichata Bishkaga. So that was the Machlokas we had. Now, today, we want to take a look and see, by quoting some of the Mishnayos, to see how far this would extend. In other words, the Din of Me'ilah is about Kodshei Hashem, specifically. That means Kodshei Merim Yuchodim L'Shem. Would that be true of Kodshei Kalim as well? Furthermore, when we're talking about the Kedusha, and it's all about the amount of money and so on, that's talking about Kedusha's Domim. But what would be if something has Kedusha's Haguf? Can you remove Kedusha's Haguf as well by doing these changes? Or is this only a halacha in terms of the way that the Torah is presenting it, and you're taking the money of Kodesh Hashem, and this is the money that you have to pay back, and so on? All of these questions we will review today, Bezrat Hashem. So now let's take a look at the Mishnah that we had back in Shkolim, and Tanan Hasam, Behemah Shenimtzeit Mirushalayim LeMigdal Eder Kamidata L'Chol Ruach. If you find an animal wandering around, that obviously has wandered away from Yerushalayim, and it's between Yerushalayim and the area of Migdal Eder, which is about 15 kilometers, it's marshmallow from the Mefarshim. And that area in any direction, in other words, it's a circle around Yerushalayim. Barnea, do you know where the Migdal Eder, other than the accepted Pshat of Beit Lechem, do you know where the Migdal Eder is that the Mefarshim referred to?
I don't know which hill, but it's in the general area of the summit of Gush Etzion, right, in that direction. That's where it's identified. I think Rav Yoel Ben Nun identifies it in that area. I think so.
Okay, so then it would be less than 15 kilometers, then, by far. So if you find an animal wandering, if it's a zohar, if it's a male animal, so then you assume, it's what it seems to be saying, is you assume that it's a korban oila, and it wandered away from Yerushalayim. If it's a nekeva, you assume that it's a shlomi. Says the Gemara, that makes absolutely no sense. What do you mean? I mean, a shlomim can also be a zohar. That could be either zohar or a nekeva. So why are you saying zacharim are only olot? Zivchei shlomim lo havi. You're saying there's no such thing as a male shlomim? Omer ve'oshaya, you misunderstand. Of course you don't bring the animal itself. How can you bring the animal? You have no idea what kedushas korban it is. What we're talking about over here is a person who wants to take care of these animals. He found these animals, and he feels terrible. Here's an animal of Hekdesh. How can he get the Mizbeach to at least get out of what it was in this animal? So therefore, what the Mishnah is saying is that if we're talking about an Mizachar, we have to also be Cheshish that it's an Eila. But if it's a Nekeva, we don't have to be. So what it would mean is like this. He finds an animal that's a zohar, and he wants to make sure that he can bring its value to the Mizbeach. So what does he do? If we go Aliba to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that you can be Mechalal Hegdash, even Bemezid, so this guy wants to actually, he knows it's Hegdash, but what he does is he takes an animal, sets it on the side and says, I'm gonna pay for this. So he takes the kedusha on this animal, and he has these two animals that he brings of his own, and he says, look, if this is an oila, so then this male animal in its place should be an oila, and if this is not an oila and it's a shlamim, then this other animal should be a shlamim. He gives both of these animals, and the one that is not what it is, he's paying out of his pocket. So he says, okay, look, the kedusha that this is, that I'm taking from this animal, but the other one that turns out to be from my pocket, I'm happy to give in order that we bring both possibilities. So we'll bring both possibilities, and one of them will represent the kedusha on this animal. And since, according to Rabbi Meir, you can actually purposefully take off the kedusha of Hegdesh and put it on something else. So that's what he did. Wait a minute. What are you saying? First of all, where did Rabbi Meir talk about Kedushas HaGuf? Rabbi Meir was talking about Me'ila, and Kedushas HaGuf, you're never Mechala. I mean, we know that it says in the Mishnah in Me'ila that Ein Mo'el Achar Mo'el B'Mukdashim. If you have one person who does Me'ila, then the next person who uses it for the same purpose is not being Moel. Why? Because by doing the Me'ila, you take it outside of Kedusha. The only place where you would be able to have multiple Me'ilas is, let's say, somebody was riding on a behemoth that is a korban. That's Kedusha Guf. Over there, the Kedusha won't go off, so the next person who goes on and rides that animal is also going to be Moel. And the same thing is true of the Kli Shoris. So if somebody takes one of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash was meant, let's say, for Zrikas Adam, and he uses it as his cup, and then another guy takes it and uses it as his cup. In any case, it would be Kodesh, no matter how many people use it, and the Kedusha never goes out. Now, I mean, what do you think that's telling us? That's telling us that Kedusha Saguf is not Mizchal Alonol. So why are you saying? And it even explains it in the Mishnah. Ketzad. What do we mean? Hayarocheva gabi behima. A guy was riding on an animal that was kedush as a korban. Somebody else comes along and now he takes it and rides it. Somebody else comes along and he takes it. All of them are chayiv in a korban meila because it never left the rishus of Hegdesh. Or let's say somebody was taking the kosher zav from the klisharis. Somebody else comes and he drinks his drink from that kosher. Somebody else comes and does the same. Kula malu, again, because something that has kedushas haguf cannot actually lose its kedusha just because it was misused. Unbelievable. Okay, it's a little bit additional materials that you need to know about this because we need to be talking about a chiddush over here where the person actually wanted to take it, not just to use it for shavapruta and so on, because then the whole thing wouldn't be mischal. But even in the case, as Tosfos explains, even in a case where the person actually wanted to keep it, it wouldn't make any difference. The me'ila is constant. So, therefore, what are you saying that we can do over here? I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Why would Rabbi Meir say that you could be mechal hegdesh on purpose? Not can, meaning not that you're allowed, but that it's possible to be mechal hegdesh on purpose, even if it's kedushas haguf. No, that Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. That Mishnah. This Mishnah. So, yeah, that's Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So when we were talking about the Mishnah of the Migdal Eder and how it is you're going to be Metakein, that's going Alib to Rabbi Meir, and he holds that you can be Mechalo even Kiddush Zaguf. Now, this is very strange. The Machlokas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, does not have anything to do with what type of Kiddush it is, right? It's just a question of whether it's B'shogeg or B'mezid. Now the Gemara all of a sudden is saying, well, if you hold up Rabbi Meir, so then it would be true even on Kedush Zaguf. I mean, where would we pick that out of a hat? There was nothing in the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that indicated that they had a further argument about the question of whether something is Kedush Zaguf. Ask the Gemara, this makes no sense. I mean, meet a Rabbi Yehuda, nishma le Rabbi Meir. Since with no reason to think that they're arguing, so did you just admit that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hegdesh is mischal b'shoge, but only in the event that it's kedushas damim, not if it's kedushas haguf. Fine. So then Rabbi Meir, you're right, Rabbi Meir disagrees, and he says even if it's b'mezid, it's mischal. But what does that have to do with this? The same way that according to Rabbi Yehuda, where there is me'ila, it's only on kedushas damim, so too, according to Rabbi Meir, where there is me'ila, it's only on kedushas damim, and not on kedushas haguf. This has nothing to do with their machlokas. So then the Rebbe Meir Nami, Afagav the Hegdish B'mezid is Mitchalil, what would that have to do with Kedushas Haguf? Each one of these Shitas would apply the distinction of where the Hegdish is possibly be able to de-Hegdish it, to be Mechalil it, in the same way. So explain to me what you mean. I'll explain it to you very well. Excuse me. There is a major difference that you're not taking into consideration in understanding the fundamental approach of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and they are interrelated. This is the way most of the Rishonim understand it. You know, it's somewhat hidden between the lines in the Rishonim, but the Farshim understand it this way, the Achronim understand it this way. That if you hold, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the idea that you are able to be mechalal hegdesh dafke b'shogeg and not b'mezid means, and that what the Torah is saying is, since you're going to be paying money for it as me'ila, then basically what the Torah has created is a situation of pidyon. You're going to pay back the hegdesh, and the hegdesh is going to go off. That's how understanding the entire sugya as shinui is mechayiv him to understand. And therefore, only where the Torah says such a thing is possible, which is b'shogeg, where we create this new concept of being paid a hegdesh, so to speak, it's a type of pidyon. If you use something, I don't care whether it worked or not. That's not the idea. The idea is that in your taking hegdesh and putting on it a din that connects it to chulin, transferring it for something that is a bottle of milk, of chulin, in the chenveni, that itself is a type of chilul that is similar to pidyon, and now you'll make up by paying the other money. But that's certainly not the way Rabbi Meir views it at all. Rabbi Meir views the idea of me'ila, remember, as being similar to the seita, who is mo'elet bi'isha. So it's something that has to do with your kavana and your intent to take it away. Which means that, according to Rabbi Meir, there is no basis for there to be a difference between Kedushas Domim and Kedushas Haguf. Because where you're talking about something which is shayach to pidyon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the only place where the Torah said that you can do this new type of pidyon called me'ila. But something that you cannot be poda, is there any way to be poda a behemah tamima? No. Is there any way to be paid a klishares? No. Okay, so then there's no me'ila either. That follows by how he understands me'ila. But according to the way Rabbi Meir understands me'ila, that the Torah is saying that if your intent is to remove something from the Shus of Hegnesh, then it's removed and you have to pay for it. What's the difference if there's pidyon or not? Pidyon has nothing to do with anything. What's the difference if it's Kedushas Domim or Kedushas Haguf? So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that b'mezid you could be mechalal hegdash, according to him, there's no reason for us to say that it should be limited to dafka, things that are shayach to pidyon, because it doesn't work with pidyon. And therefore, since in Rabbi Yehuda's case, there's no kavana, it doesn't work because of your kavana, it works because of the fact that this thing was used for chulin. And that is what took it out. But the way that Rabbi Meir works is much more powerful. According to Rabbi Meir, you have an actual power to be mechalo. So if that's the case, where did the Torah say there's a difference in being mechalo, something which is kadosh kadosh zakuf, for something is mekadosh kadosh kadosh zdami? Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, indeed it's more powerful and would not distinguish between kadosh zdami and kadosh zakuf. That's why Rav Hoshea gave his pshat. If you hold, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. And you're trying to figure out what to do about this animal. And according to Rabbi Meir, you're able to take the Kedusha from this animal and you could now be mechalal it on something else. So go ahead and do it. And that way you'll give the Mizbeach ultimately what it needs. Wait a second. That's all very nice. But remember that the Pasuk that is mechadish this is the Pasuk in Me'ila. And it says over there, Beferish, Bedefesh, Kitimo, Mal, in what? B'kodshei Hashem. Now, Kodshei Hashem is Dafka Kodesh Kodashim. But if it's not Kodesh Kodashim, so then the whole idea wasn't even said in the Pasuk. So, Eimad Hashamet Leila Rabbi Meir B'kodshei Kodashim. Now, remember, gentlemen, do not get confused between the overall sense that Kedushas Domim is a lesser power of Kedusha than Kedushas Haguf. That's true. But on the other hand, there's a completely different issue, which is the type of Kedusha. The type of Kedusha, one is Kodesh Kodashim, which comes straight from the Shulchan Gavoha, and the other is Kodshim Kalim, where over there, the owner also has a share in it. Now, just because it's true that the din that we're talking about, we just said, is more applicable to Kodshim, which are Kodshim Domim, than they are to Kodshei Haguf. That has something to do with this other issue. The Pasuk that it's referring to is Kodshei Hashem. Where Hegdash owns something, Kedushas Domim, it's entirely owned by Hegdash. But where something is a Kodshim Kalim, it's not entirely Hegdash's. Because let's say you set aside something as a Shlomim. Then the money that's set aside as a Shlomim, you as the owner have a part of, because that shlomim is meant for you to eat as well, correct? So we can't say it's Kodshei Hashem in the sense of being miyuchadim l'Hashem. Therefore, maybe this whole idea of being mechalal hegdash on purpose is only true of Kodshei Kodashim. I understand that that would work for an oila, because an oila is Kodshei Kodashim. But how would it work for when it says over here, if it's a female, that you can make it a shlomim? Maybe you can't. And maybe this male is also a shlomim. And you can't just do a transference from Kodshim Kalim, because that wasn't what the Torah was referring to when it says be Kodshei Hashem. So how does this follow from Rabbi Meir? Omele Ahumi Rabbonin Rabbi Yaakov Shemei. Listen, it's a kal v'chomer. if l'maisa the Torah is ready to give a person the power to be mechalal something that's on the level of kedusha of kachin kadoshim, where he has no shaychus to, so kachin kalim lo kol shekein. So it's more obvious. We have a right to make a kal v'chomer. You're right that the pasuk talks about mikach yashem, but meanwhile you see that the Torah gives you a power of chilul, and we see that this is true from others as well. Itmanami. Om Reb Chama Baruch, what should say? There's no Reb Chama Bar Akiva. Om Reb Chama Baruch, Om Reb Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Omer Haya Rebbe Meir, Hegdesh Ben Mezid Mitchalel, Bishogeg Eino Mitchalel. And this is, remember, Bishogeg Eino Mitchalel doesn't really mean Bishogeg Eino Mitchalel. It means if you didn't know and it's a Mekachtos, that it wasn't Mitchalel. Just keep that in mind. It doesn't mean that he's the opposite cheat of Rebbe Yehuda. And Bishogeg, it's not mitchalel, because that refers to Echot Kachim Kachim, the Echot Kachim Kalim. So you're wondering, how do I know? Because Kal v'chomer, Kachim Kachim mitchalelim, Kachim Kalim lo kol shekein. Okay, so that means we've dealt with two issues. Please keep in mind clearly. We're saying that when something is done purposefully, Aliba de Rebbe Meir, you can transfer its Kedusha onto another animal, and it wouldn't matter whether this was Kachim Kadashim or whether it was Kachim Kalim, and it wouldn't matter whether it's Kedushas HaGuf, and it wouldn't matter whether it's Kedushas Domi. So far we've handled two of the issues that had not been clear up until this point. Is this limited to Kachim Domi? A. B. Is it limited to Kachim Kachim? Now, there's another obvious question. Rabbi Yochanan was utterly shocked. I mean, what? What is Rav Hoshaya saying? You're not allowed to do that. Let's say even that Aliba Rabbi Meir, if you would do such a thing, that it would be chal. But it's usur for you to take a behema temima, which is an iser gomor, to take a behema temima that was royal mizbeach, and to take off its kedusha, so it can't go to the mizbeach. V'chi omrim lo la'adam amod v'chateh b'shvil shetizkeh. I understand. You want to do a big mitzvah, you know. So you say, so how can I get this to the mizbeach? Well, do an avera, you know, do a little avera over there, and then, well, whoever heard of such a thing? Why would we tell someone to do an avera? Even the Gemara learns out that even if the behema had a mum over, then it's also an iser gomer for you to try to be mechalal, that animal, because it still is roi to be used for the mizbeach. So why do we come off over here and tell a person he should take a perfectly usable animal, and he should say, I want it to, since it's possible, I want to do this avera, because this way it'll be very nice. You're not allowed to do this. Once an animal is shaykh to the mizbeach, the Mizbeach doesn't let go of it. You're stealing it from the Mizbeach. So why would Rav Hoshaya say, since the guy's trying to be a good boy and he wants it to go to Hegdash, so we tell him to do an Avera? That's crazy, says Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, it's not talking about this at all. What it means is that the person who found it would have to wait until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, then it's a mitzvah to be paid at it. So fine, that's what it's referring to. It gets a mum, which has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They were talking about something that remains in its state of kedushin, is not meant to be mechulal. And over here, we're talking about you wait until it gets a mum. Now there's a mitzvah to be prayed at. You bring two animals and you say, if this is an ayla, so then the Kedusha that is now meant to be taken off because it has a mum should go onto this animal to my right, which you brought. And the one on the left is going to be paid for by me as a shlamim. If it's a shlamim, then it should go, a Kedusha should go on the animal to my left. And the one on the right, I'm bringing as a korban ayla, as a gift, out of my pocket. And this way, fine. So you're paying for an animal. And one of them is actually the original Kedusha of the animal that you found, and you're a wonderful guy in trying to get the Mizbeach everything that is possible, but of course, Derech Heter, out of this, which means that this has zero implications for the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and we avoid all the issues that were brought up earlier. Fine. So then you bring two animals, umatana, you make a tanai, depending which one was which. Okay, now, I just want to get back to, I understand, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let's try to figure out, why have we limited the discussion to whether it's an eil or a shlamim? There's all kinds of things that these things could be over here, and you're not dealing with them. You said, zecharim are olot. Okay, so I asked you, you know, all right, so what's going to be? What if maybe it's good as a shlamim? You said, okay, yeah, you make it tonight if it's a shlamim. But maybe it's a carbon teda. And then if it's a carbon teda, so then that could also be either a zachar or an akeva. So why bringing only an eila or a shlamim? You're right. You bring, I didn't tell you everything. You have to bring three animals. One eila, one shlamim, and one teda. The Maisenami teda, you bring a carbon teda. But what do you mean you bring a carbon teda? But you need to bring the 40 lechemim that are come, bring it with it. You can't just bring an animal. The boy lechem. You do. You obviously you bring the lechem. As a matter of fact, that's the only real problem over here. Because otherwise, a teda and a shlamim are basically the same, except for how long you have to eat it, right? And that can't be the issue over here because this Tana obviously doesn't care about how long you have to eat it because you're anyway going to be now treating it l'chumra, so you're going to lose that extra day anyway. So why wouldn't you be able to bring it as a shlamim and say, or if it's a teda, then this one should be a teda bit. That's the whole point. Because you can't bring the arboim lechem unless you have a teda to bring it with. You can't bring lechem to the mizbeach. That would just be chulin ba'azara. Okay, so you mean you really need three? Yes, exactly. You need three other animals. And if it's a zohar, how do you know that it's only an oila? Maybe it's a carbon asham. And a carbon asham is also, would need to bring an asham, but you can't make it tonight on an asham because you can only bring an asham if you're chayav an asham. So what are you going to do about that? No. I know it's not an asham. How do you know? Because the ashamais have to be an ayil. And an ayil is already in its second year. It's 13 months and up. And what you found was clearly a sheep, which, and they look different. I mean, it's very easy to tell. They reach their adolescence at that stage. So they have an entirely different shape, basically. So there's a difference between a keves and an ayil. So what you found was a keves, and the asham has to be an ayo. Well, it's not true. I mean, there are ashamots that are keves. How about an asham etzera? How about an asham nazir? So why don't you have to worry about that? So a dilma asham etzera or asham nazir, who? Because I don't have to worry about that. Lo shreche. Basically, it's so rare to find such a thing that someone was zeche to have Giwe Shechina, that he got Tzaras. Remember, Tzaras is not a normal kind of thing. It was a special message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how many people make a Naziris today? It's not Shriach. Okay, but what if it's a Korban Pesach? It might have been a Korban Pesach, which is basically a Keves. Yeah, but look, if it's a Korban Pesach before Pesach, there's no chance that it's going to be found wandering around. I mean, people are so makbid on their carbon Pesach, they go out and select the Pesach before they make a whole big deal. They get people to sign up and everything. That, for sure, is not something that we have to worry about, because if it's a carbon Pesach, then there's no way that it would be wandering around. And if it's a carbon Pesach, which is shelo bizmano, so it's already passed the zman of Pesach, so then it's a shlamim automatically, because Pesach shelo bizmano, is shlamimu. And because of that, I've already talked about the shlamim. So I've handled the side that it's a shlamim. So therefore, that's not a problem. Okay, but maybe it's a bechor. Maybe it's a meiser. Okay, so what's your problem? Let's say it is. What's your problem? What's going to be different about the bechor and the meiser that we have to worry about it? Because right now it has a mum, right? Well, what's the din of Bechor and Meiser has a mum? You get to eat it. It's not like other korbanos. Okay, so, yeah, but you can't just eat it any old way. I mean, you have to eat it by making sure that you don't check that in a butcher shop, and it isn't weighed on scales like it's just regular meat, and you have to give it COVID. Fine, okay, so I'll do that. I'll do that, but I don't need to make any new kinds of t'nai, do I? So Lamai Hilcha, so what's your problem? Your problem is that I need to eat them with the mum, which is what I'm doing. Okinami b'mumon misakli. So, fine. You're right, of course, but I'm not telling you everything you need to know over here. You understand that yourself. I'm just telling you what other karbonis you have to worry about so that you would have to make a t'nai if it's this karbon. What is you going to do about it? Now, the next part was that if it's a nekeva, then it goes to zifchei shalomi. But if it's a nekeva, it could also be, like we said before, it could be a karbon teda. You're right. You bring also a teda. And we said that. And what about lechem? You bring the lechem, the ma'isinami lechem. Ah, but if it's in a keva, it could be a karban chatas. And if it's a karban chatas, you can't bring a chatas. Before we were talking about the male, we said maybe it's an usham. Now we're talking about the female. Maybe the female is a chatas. And then there'd be no way that you could be metakenet it, because you can't bring a chatas as an adava. Yes, but a chatas is always in its first year of life because it has to be a kispa. So a kispa, sirat, that is bedafka in the first year. We're talking about a case where the female was already in the second year of its life. So how do you know when it was lost? Maybe when it was lost, it was still within its shana. It's a normal chatas. It's been wandering around for a while. Meanwhile, it wandered around and matured. And now it's bat shtei shanim. I mean, but if it's a chatas that's ovra shenasa, so then what are you going to do? It's going to be osir, because that's one of the chataot hametot, right? Yeah, but it's lo shchiach. It's so unusual that somebody sets aside a chatas and he didn't. Go and bring it, when then it becomes a chatas amesa, and the whole thing is going to have to be completely usher b'ano, and to let it die, and so on. That's very difficult. And also, to say it's been wandering around for who knows how long, it's also not usual. I mean, if you found it, you can assume that it was recently lost, and if it was recently lost, then what's the chances that it's a chatas? What would be the din if you actually did find a behema that was tokshinata? And then you've got to be worried that it's a chatas. Then what are you going to do? So, ishtakach bat shnatamai, Tanya, Hananya ben Chachinoi Omer, look, the Torah says, eiz bat shnata lechatat. So, what does it say in the pasuk? Im nefesh achatach tebeshnara, v'ikriva eiz bat shnata lechatat. It has to be dafka in its first year. And what do you think that means? That lechatat? That what? That anyone, what he's saying? Bring an eiz bat shnata, which obviously would be not only an eiz. I mean, that's just one example, but it could be anything. He's just quoting that pasuk. Is he trying to tell me I could bring it as a chatas? How can I bring it as a chatas? I don't know what it is. I can't bring it as a chatas with a t'nai. No, he means treat it like a chatas, which is, Elam Rabbaya, treat it like a chatas that is possible, because it would be a chatas where we don't have the bailim, and maybe the bailim was mischaper ba'achar, and the only thing that you can do is treat it like a chatas ha'meso, where when you cannot use a chatas, you kain tzolechipa v'meso me'leo. You put it in a special barn where it isn't fed, and it dies. That's the halacha l'meshe misinai of the chatas ha'meses. Okay, so tomorrow we'll see that we also have further issues about the purchase utilizing Maaser Sheni, the difference between accidentally and purposefully, and that will extend the dinim that we had in the Machlokas Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, Legabe Maaser Sheni as well. So basically, what we've worked out today is, according to Rav Hoshaya, we've dealt with the question of whether there's a difference, Alibra Rabbi Meir or Alibra Rabbi Yehuda, between Kedushas Tomim and Kedushas Haguf, about whether there's a difference between Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kadashim, and whether Bechlal it would be Mutter, Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Oshaya, would it be mutter in order to be able to fix the behema, that even if it wasn't the Baalah's mum, that it would be, for some reason, allowed to actually move a chalalit, alibi the Rebbe Meir. Furthermore, we also learned what would be the alternatives in the event that the Mishnah in Shkolim, which talks about finding a Zohar or an Akeva, that gives us the details of that Mishnah, because it would depend how old the Korban is and what it is that you might need to do in order to make sure that the Korban would be usable by being mechalalit. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, hopefully with better situations and better news than today.